Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in. That's right, a whole new show brought to you by On the Wake Up Radio, titled Fellowship and Freedom.
Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Fellowship and Freedom, brought to you by On the Wake Up Radio. That's right, a whole new show filled with all kinds of awesome guests, all kinds of awesome content, all kinds of awesome stuff, and we do it every other Sunday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, bringing you weekly news roundup, powerful interviews, document drops, all kinds of different stuff. But here is why today is special, not only because it's Mother's Day, but because we have a guest for you as well. We have our friend from Spoons of Consciousness podcast, Sachin. My friend, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me, and happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Oh, yeah. Before we get in, I definitely want to take a quick second and then give a quick shout-out to moms. I love ladies. I make no qualms about it, I'll be honest with you. I love females. I love women. I love ladies. And, you know, Mother's Day, especially, you guys are the, if it wasn't for mothers, we wouldn't be here. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm a feminist or anything like that, but I love women and I think they need to be appreciated. And days like today are, you know, ones where we need to give a shout out across the board. It doesn't matter, you know, what they do. You're alive and loved and appreciated.
Definitely, man. If it wasn't for my mama, I wouldn't be here today. So thank you to my mom, and thank you to all the awesome moms out there as well.
All right. So if you're mom and you're listening, or you're just like born and you have a mom, you need to go show your mom some love and appreciation. But with that being said, let's jump into the episode. If you guys, for people who don't know, because this is Sasha's first time over here with On the Wake Up Radio, He's the host of the show, Spoons of Consciousness. We're having him on today to talk about his latest project and all kinds of other stuff as well. But Sachin, if you could you give the audience a little bit of an intro about yourself?
Sure, yeah. So my name's Sachin. I had my own blog since 2016. I'm a life coach and spiritual mentor, and really, it just started off as the podcast that I run started off as just a way for me to connect with spiritual teachers and other coaches and truth seekers, and just like a place to have conscious discussions. And since doing that, it's really evolved to just another level of, I don't even know how to describe it, but the conversations I tend to have around personal development, spirituality, consciousness, trying to make sense of what we're doing here, how to find one's purpose, a lot of stuff like that. Now, lately, what this has evolved into is me connecting with other like-minded individuals who want to create change on the planet. Now, a lot of people I speak with, creatives, entrepreneurs, people who are quote-unquote new age, if you want to call it that, we all have this common ground of saying, the education system needs to be changed. And, you know, whatever country you're in, whatever walk of life you came from, whatever your interest is, whatever you do right now, today, everyone knows that there was things about their schooling experience that could have been changed to make them better prepared for what they're doing today. And it really occurred to me after speaking with so many people that This is not just, you know, for me personally, yeah, education system was definitely not for me. And some of the people I know in my family and stuff, we don't feel as if it was tailored to our needs. And it's more of like a cookie cutter approach to just pushing people through the system to make them good workers, right? So I started looking at this and saying, okay, well, the government is not going to do much about it, maybe until it's drastically too late and they have to do something. The local authority doesn't have enough power, quote unquote, or money to fix these things and give us exactly what we need or what we ask for. So my idea, I teamed up with an entrepreneur who lives locally to me. He's a tech entrepreneur. He used to do tech support for schools. And then he started branching out from there. So I said to him, you've got the connection with a lot of schools. I've got the willingness to bring people together to start making some change here. How about we pool our resources together and we start talking about this in the local community? So what it looks like right now is my friend, he has this bus called the Ideas Bus. It's full of tech like 3D printers, VR, coding equipment. And they take this technology around to schools to introduce it to children who wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to have a go with that kind of tech. And that's one way of preparing young people for the digital world, right? To have relevant skills. Now, that's a great idea. Where I come into this, coming from the spiritual background, is I want to help young people cope with the negative effects of social media, which will obviously, you know, combat anxiety and depression rates, which have soared over the last 25 years. So, you know, with that being said, what our goal is, we're going to introduce new technology through the bus. We're going to introduce new ideas through these workshops we're going to be delivering. And we're going to get a conversation going. You know, we held a forum recently. I put the video on my channel. We're talking about how young people are being affected by social media and why. You know, these platforms were designed to exploit human vulnerability. We are social creatures. We're creatures that thrive off communication and collaboration with one another. But when all of that moves online, it starts to have some effects. And of course, you know, we're adults, conscious adults. A lot of us have the self-control to be able to stop ourselves from scrolling on screens and stuff for the whole day. But children don't necessarily have that. So out my point of view is we need to get a discussion going. We need to get people conscious of the fact that it's not their fault for being in their phones more than they should be or experiencing the negative side effects of using these platforms so much. One, it's not their fault. And two, we need to lead by example and bridge the gap between looking at them like, oh, you know, they're just kids and this is bad, to, hey, you know, that's not their fault that they're like that. You know, it's funny because people say millennials are entitled and stuff like that. To a degree, perhaps a lot of people are entitled, but I think particularly with the younger generation, their sense of entitlement has come because the revolution of technology has brought instant gratification to a new level. You know, likes on social media, shares, views, people, you know, praising you on social media and stuff. It's, you know, Amazon next day delivery, Tinder, a lot of these things have ripped apart the social fabric of the way we live. And instead of creating relations,
I want to speak on that real quick. You know, you're talking about how, and I'll let you have it right after this, but you're talking about how what they're doing with social media is how it's drastically manipulating people's thoughts. It's social engineering at its finest. One of the founders of Facebook, Sean Parker, he's talked about this, how with what you described just there, with giving the likes, the sharing, the commenting, that gives you a social media feedback loop or a social validation feedback loop. It's a little dopamine hit. And as you said before, you know, after a while, we realize we should stop scrolling. We have to go do something else. That's because, you know, we've grown up that way. We've been told you're doing too much. You're doing it in excess. You need to do something else. Mm-hmm. Children who are being brought up with these types of technologies, with these types of toys, literally being given to them as if they were pacifiers, literal, you know, pacification tools. They don't understand how that messes with their inhibition. And another thing, I'll let you have it after this, for people who are curious about where this kind of conversation comes from, I'll put the link in the description bar below for me and Sachin's previous episode where we've talked about, you know, what exactly technology is doing to people, because everything he's saying is 1,000% correct. So whenever he's talking about how, you know, how young people are affected by technology, the negative effects of social media, and how they're trying to introduce new types of tech and new types of ideas to what he's doing, that's where we need to have these types of discussion. It's a renaissance-based, creative-based I don't want to say like a forum or a convention, but it's a conversation. That's where it's going. So everything you're saying is 1,000%, man. Please continue.
Thank you, man. Yeah, look, before I continue, I just want to give you all a lot of credit right now, because, dude, like, if it was not for our conversation that we had, I think it was our second, maybe a first or second podcast we did together, you said to me, you know, I said these systems need to change and things like that. And I used to be of the opinion, like, let's just flip everything on its head. Let's tear down these monuments dedicated to this tyrannical regime that we're living under. And you, I'm really glad you said this to me. You said it's about renaissance, not revolution. And I literally took that. It took me a while to digest that idea, but I took it and ran with it. And it's brought us to, you know, the forum that we did recently. There was older people there who have children of their own. And they were saying, like, wow, we've never thought about it in this way before. And it's going to change the way we interact with our children. And that's another part of it, right? You know, bridging the gap between the parent generation and the young generation. You know, it's, we're always going to have differing views, but it doesn't mean that we can't create change together. And that requires us to literally just observe the truth, right? We were talking about the way technology is affecting us. You know, when we look at the way we, let's say, for example, Tinder, right? You have a dating app, quote unquote, that's what it's called. And I've met so many young people. I used to mentor 14 to 18 year olds, right? A lot of them are using these apps, not Tinder specifically, but like Snapchat, Instagram, to form relationships with members of the opposite sex or same sex, whatever their preference is. And, you know, they're having the interaction online, which they find easy because they're behind the screen. They're not feeling as vulnerable. When it translates to in real life, so when it involves, you know, looking into the person's eyes, hand contact, eye contact, this kind of stuff, they get very anxious. They're not used to it. And this is, you know, when I helped one of my mentees work through confidence issues, you know, getting to the point where he was comfortable to approach women and be able to express himself. And a key part of that was observing what we feed the mind. Because, you know, we all know about the unhealthy diet, right? You shouldn't eat too much fried food and this and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, we've all been told that. But we don't really, we've never really been informed, well, at least I wasn't, about the effects of what we feed our mind. Because diet is not just what you feed your mouth, it's what you feed your mind as well. So if we can just start introducing the idea that, hey, Jennifer, you know, if you keep feeding your mind with these pictures of skinny girls, you might feel insecure about the way you look. And I think that is just such a powerful concept. Because for me, coming from the background, I came, you know, when I was younger, about 14, I was on Facebook, I was on MSN, if anyone remembers what that is. You know, I was using these instant messaging things, and I was getting caught up in it, but it was not as bad as AOL it is today. Yeah, definitely, man. You know, a lot of us remember what it was like back then. And to see now, you know, young people, if you're having trouble at school, you know, if you're being bullied or if you do something embarrassing at school, it used to be back in our day, it ends there. You know, when you go to school, haha, yeah, yeah, whatever. Then you go back home and it's all good. Now it follows them home. Now there's recordings. Everyone's a goddamn media company, excuse me, because everyone's a media company walking around with a phone in their pocket. And, you know, we're not able to escape this, the negativity that we can feel from others, unless we learn how to use these tools for our benefit, which is the main point of all of these forums that we're holding, is to spread the word of educate children on how to use these tools. Because a tool is not a bad thing. You know, if I give you a pen and say, you know, have a go with this tool, it's, the pen is not evil. You know, you could use it to hurt someone. Yeah, it probably could do a bit of damage. And if you misusing it, so if you're using a pen to try and unlock a door, there's obviously there's been miseducation there. So a big part of what we're trying to do right now is educate young people and say, look, you, if you're gonna, there's that concept, right? We don't want our children using drugs. We don't want them to be sexually active at a young age. But unfortunately, or, you know, whatever the perception is, we can't control what people do with their bodies, regardless if we have their best intentions at heart. All we can do is educate. And for, personally, for me, I feel like education is not in the form of, okay, you do this and you do that. It's literally giving someone the facts and saying you can use the tool in this way and in this way, and there are some effects, and then letting them decide for themselves. And I think that's how we're going to start creating this change.
I agree. And I think that is a good point. You know, teaching trades, introducing new ideas, and really trying to take over the culture of what's considered education. That's a good place to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about this, because I wanted to talk about, you know, kids on video games, kids on social media, and how basically this stuff is like a drug. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about this and more on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. This is Freedom Faction and Spoons of Consciousness over here on Fellowship and Freedom with On the Wake Up Radio. We'll talk to you soon. And we are back. Thank you guys and ladies for tuning in to another edition of Fellowship and Freedom. We are joined by my guest, Sachin of Spoons of Consciousness. My friend, how are you?
I'm very good, man. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, whenever you were talking about kids, people, interactions in between, like normal human interaction, you know, just being able to pick up on chicks or even just talking to the opposite sex, you know, like, I know that sounds silly, but there's a point to what I'm trying to say. We have somehow found ourselves in a position to where we have condemned natural human behavior. Growing up, you know, I was never the kid that had, like, even though I had like an Xbox and an Xbox One, 360, you know, the PS3 and the PS4, I didn't really keep up with the games and et cetera, et cetera. That was almost always my brother's. I basically tried to stay away from that black box because I saw how much it consumed people, right? And I was out there hiking, partying, hanging out with girls, doing stuff, you know, that shouldn't be. Fast forward to where we are now, you know, you have people who have literally grown up in front of screens playing that same Xbox in different versions, playing that PS4 in different versions, who have somehow forgotten normal human interactions because of what that box has commanded them or induced them to do. Now, why can't people have normal conversations about, like, what's important or even, you know, what matters to them? Is because they're not looking deep within themselves. They're not really asking the inner verse what the real questions are. They're getting feedback from social media and from the internet or whatever is being trendy at the time, but they themselves do not have something that they are pulling upon from. And so this is a huge epidemic, if you ask me. We have a lot of people out there that are kind of mentally, emotionally, and spiritually lost because of what social media has done. And we've talked about this a few times, Sachin. We've talked about this a few times because it's an epidemic. So I just wanted to put that pin in what you were saying before, because what you're saying is 1,000% correct. We have to get back to basically the basics, having conversations, having barbecues, you know, having cookouts, having pool parties, you know, going to a park even, walking your dog. Very simple human interactions are how we win this battle. Right now, they have us mentally and culturally because of social media. If we take back the culture, take back the idea, that's how we'll start to see progress.
Yeah, I'm definitely in alignment with that, man. And, you know, to touch on the video game thing, I've always been a very big video game fanatic. You know, even I wouldn't say up until recently, but, you know, I think it's a balanced thing, right? You know, chocolate's good, but too much chocolate is bad. You know, pineapple, my favorite thing on the planet. Yeah, I can eat some of it, but if I eat too much, it's bad for you. So I think with the video game thing, someone told me something very real. I said to them, you know, life is a load of rubbish. This is, you know, I feel like I've got no purpose and stuff. Video games is the only thing that makes me feel good. Like, you know, it just feels like you've accomplished something and you work through one of the challenges they set for you. And this person said to me, you do realize all you're doing is playing in a sandbox that somebody else designed for you, instead of looking within and creating your own idea of what life should be. He said, like, you know, these things that I were being told at that time, I didn't fully understand them, but I got the energy behind it, which basically was saying, stop consuming so much and start producing. And I think when this is, you know, creativity yep. is so important, because when you create, you're questioning what you think you know. And that, I feel like we've lost a lot of that, you know, like you're saying, having conversations about what's important. If we're, you know, when I played the PlayStation, I used to, you know, speak with my friends online and stuff. We weren't having conversations about what's truly important to us. All of our conversation revolved around, you know, whatever the sandbox we were playing in. And yes, to a degree, that is nice. You know, everyone needs escapism, whether it's books, you know, movies, TV shows, whatever, you know. But if it starts to consume your life, if it becomes an outlet for, you know, something that you're not happy with in your life, that's when it can be very detrimental. Same thing with social media, even, you know, relationships, things like that. There's things that we can use in our lives to externalize the desire for change we have within. And whatever that change is, you know, if you desire the change, you know, you want to meet people, or you want to have a relationship, or you want to get a new job, or you want to make friends with people, that is a desire for change. But sometimes we can mute that desire with these external things that we use. You know, for me, it used to be alcohol, drugs like alcohol and cannabis, then video games and dysfunctional relationships. These things were extremely difficult for me to grow out of, but until I found a sense of purpose. And that only comes, like you're saying, from looking within. And this is another thing I want to introduce to the education system here. I think this is our project that we've got going on at the moment. Over the next, I'm not sure how long what the timeline is, but within the next year, we want to get more of a conversation going around introducing a new curriculum based around health and well-being. And a big part of that is teaching young people about self-actualization. excuse me. And I'd like to ask you a question, EJ. What do you think we can do collectively as a community to introduce young people to this idea of looking within?
Whenever I was in Australia as a child, they sent us kind of on I don't want to say it was a retreat, but they sent us on like a bushwalk type of deal. They sent us out in the wilderness for a few days. And in those few days, they gave us like some ham, some cheese, some bread, and a knife, right? You're out there in the Australian wilderness. Okay, mind you, I'm like in the seventh grade. There's a horse carcass a few feet up from where we all decided to camp like the second day in there.
Yeah.
And it rained. I could smell, it was atrocious. The point I'm trying to make is people need to be challenged. People need to be put in uncomfortable situations to see how they react. Are you going to crack under the pressure? In the world that we've designed today, that pressure, that adversity, it's been severely restricted. Football, you know,
yes.
Football, sports, extracurricular activity, everything that was supposed to foster challenge, adversity, growth, even creativity, individuality, all of these things are slowly being stripped away from the educational system, which is extraordinarily ironic that we're talking about it. And that's why we don't really have people who talk about dreams, talk about things they would like to excel in, talk about places they would like to go. We just have a continual echo of regurgitated nonsense that's not actually moving the ball forward. So how do we find a solution for that is just that. We put people in these situations where they do have to face adversity and use all the tools that they do have at their disposal to push the ball forward. So whenever you, precisely, like with your idea, using the tools that we have now, introducing it into the conversation rather than just letting the tools be the conversation. I mean,
yeah.
We hear this all the time. You know, technology is advancing faster than we have the capability to understand it. We're losing our spirituality because of how fast technology is growing. If we don't have a conversation about what all these tools are supposed to do, we're just going to become cogs in a wheel, and another machine's going to be built, and we're just going to be outside of it. So we're not. There's so many different ways to look at this, or so many different ways for me to answer that. Like, I don't think I could effectively put it down in one sentence for you, my friend.
No, I completely get that, and this is why I love having these conversations. Is because people have said to me, look, the goal is, it's too lofty a goal for us to try and change this system. And a lot of us are, you know, a lot of us have said, hey man, that's a great idea, but, you know, what can we do? We're just a couple of people who have a gripe with the system. And I think this is how it starts. You know, this is something I really wanted to spread to everyone, is just because we're doing this in the UK does not mean you can't replicate it where you are. I don't have any special tools that you don't have. I don't have access to thousands or millions of dollars worth of funding or anything. We're trying to get funded, which would be awesome if we could. And I'm sure EJ will include the link or whatever to my socials. You'll be able to find out how to help us get funded. But, you know, to a degree, yeah, the funding's really going to help. Even if we don't get it, we're still going to be putting on these forums, still having these conversations. And it starts with literally just extending kindness, patience, knowledge, and really just being an understanding ear. Like, we all know what it's like to go through adolescence, puberty, and stuff like that. It's hard, man. It's not a walk in the park. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, I was trying to talk to girls, and I just was not able to do it in a way that made me feel good. And, you know, I messed up a lot of times, but hey, you know, I learned. And, you know, this is the thing I was laughing about, because young people, when they're texting and stuff, they might feel, okay, I don't really know what to say, but it's a completely different story when you're standing in front of a girl or guy that you have a crush on, and your hands get sweaty, and like, you start mixing up your words, and you're just like, I don't really know what that, and she touched my arm, what the hell does that mean? You know, that, if we lose this physical human interaction, if we lose the face-to-face interaction, what do we have left? We're becoming a society of robots. Yeah, that's why these systems are in place, to keep us disempowered. But if we allow the technology to be misused, then all we're doing is furthering that agenda of disempowerment. And a big part of what things I talk about on my channel and all of the podcast conversations, really, it's about how we can empower ourselves to live a way of life that serves us and not the agenda of others, which I know, EJ, you talk about a lot yourself, you know, building the Matrix, how it was designed, how it's how we're being manipulated by it. And it's because we're having these types of conversations that we're encouraging the thought around that, to say, hold on a minute, how am I feeding either my own empowerment or feeding into their system that they have designed to keep us this way?
And that's why I'm glad that you're talking about it. You know, and this is an idea that I've had, like, maybe, you know, years or two down the line, if we can figure out all the logistics. But think of it like as a disconnect retreat, a common sense kind of retreat, where it's like, look, you leave your phone somewhere else. You know, we're going to get back to cutting wood. We're going to get back to shooting. We're going to get back to hiking. We're going to get back to knitting. We're going to get back to wood carving. We're going to get back to all kinds of different basic stuff, where you disconnect from social media, from the internet, because of how consuming it is. And then you just do common sense, natural stuff. You know, you have good old fashioned races. You have, you know, canoe rides. There's all kinds of different stuff that we could do to get back to, like, what it means to be human, that I feel like we take for granted. I know this stuff is not supposed to seem, it's not supposed to seem glorious. It's supposed to seem, you know, natural. And we've become so unnatural in living these days that things that seem wholesome, decent, and good, they're foreign to us. We don't know how to feel good without, like, having our phone there to commemorate the moment, so I can put it up on Snapchat or Instagram. We don't know how to just, like, have private small victories anymore. So there's a lot of stuff that comes on with that. But, you know, what you're talking about, with the desire to change, with escapism, with the introspection, and teaching the self-actualization to children, that's where we need to go. I feel like what ends up happening is, because we are in this position of kind of being along the lines of an elder, or at least a teacher, we get so caught up in consuming information that we don't necessarily think about how we're disseminating it or teaching it to the next generation. We're so caught up just learning everything that we don't become the best teachers by explaining things. And so that's what I mean by actuating the information, actuating the knowledge. So everything that you're trying to do, I'm 1,000% behind. You know, because we, and this is another thing I've talked about before, with you and with other people as well, you know, with street art, graffiti, dropping off pamphlets, dropping off documents, having little demonstrations, even making, you know, quick little 5-minute videos that you just sit up there and play on a speaker someplace. You know, there's so many different things that we can do as individuals who have this knowledge to shake people in and out of the matrix, that's where we have to go. That's the next step. It's going to seem uncomfortable because we've been hiding behind screens for so long and been in a position of disadvantage for so long that now we have to start acting like winners. Now we got to start taking the fight to them. And that's a little bit difficult. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, one thing I love about your approach is it's very guerrilla warfare. You know, it's like when America went into Vietnam, right? The Vietnamese, there was the Viet Cong, where like they knew the jungle, they knew their own local area. And I feel like that's how we are. You know, we know our local community. Yes, we've become very disconnected from one another since all of these tools haven't come into play. But there's nothing quite like having a conversation with your neighbor, with your local church pastor, or you know, your local school principal, you know, having a conversation with other parents or other students, or just there's no substitute for that kind of interaction. And I feel like that's where the guerrilla warfare of pamphlet, graffiti, forums, you know, I'm going into London, I see so many activism, so many people in support of different types of activism. And you know, whether it's vegan activism or whether it's campaigns for change in the banking sector, you know, I've seen so many different types of activism. And I ask myself, why aren't I taking the responsibility for myself to say, hold on a minute, these guys are doing it with things that they feel passionate about. Surely I, as a moderately competent individual, can get a group of people together who agree with me to actually start using our voice and start getting other people involved in this conversation. And I feel like that's how these ideas become more than ideas. You know, someone said to me the other day, yeah, you guys are trying to change the school system. You know, someone's going to kill you because of they don't want things to change. And, you know, we had a little bit of a laugh and a joke about it. But then we came back to the concept of, yeah, you can kill people. Cool. Like, that's kind of out of our control. But you can never kill an idea. And again, we've got to come back to this idea of Renaissance, not revolution. And I think, yes, it's very easy to stoke, like to stop a revolution. You know, you take out prominent leaders, maybe pay off a few other people, but you can never truly destroy an idea. And I feel like that's why the tools we have now, social media, for example, they spread ideas. You know, we see it's the silly version, viral videos. Oh, the cat fell out of a tree. That's clever. And then we've got the other side of it, which is amazing stories being shared. I don't know how many times I've looked at things in my feed and said, wow, if it wasn't for the internet, I would have learned about this amazing thing that's happening in another country. And it's inspiring me to do more. So definitely the tools can be used for this next stage of renaissance.
Yes. Yes is what is yes. Because what we're talking about is how these tools of enslavement, what they've given us, you know, like when you put an alcoholic in a bar and you tell them, you know, don't drink anything, they've given us all the tools to destroy ourselves. They've given us tools of enslavement. And what we've done is we've somehow filtered that alcohol and turned it into water. We're using these tools of enslavement as tools of empowerment. That's how we're able to have so much connection with so many different things going on. having conversations with yourself, networking with as many people as we do, being able to get the word out in the way that we do, we've literally somehow found a way to take their tools and fire them against them. So in the same kind of context, using the same idea as guerrilla warfare, you know, we're jumping straight up in that foxhole. I'm about to grab that guy's rifle, hit him in the face with the butt, you know, shoot him in the gut, and then start looking around, you know, see who else is around me, because this is the fight. This is how we have to start, you know, taking it to them. And I want to think of it like that. Even here in New Mexico, in my area, in my city, in my state, I like to be known all around, simply because I'm very curious about the types of things that go on not only within my state but within my country, and as well as with my countrymen and countrywomen. I want to know what's going on. I want to know my people, and I want my people to know me. And so whenever I see that there's a kind of culture of you know, oh, let's be fearful, oh, let's be scared, oh, let's have a chip on our shoulder, let's feel bad, that's not something I can get behind, because we have way too many things in the day and age that we live in to be grateful and proud of. So I can't join people on the wagon of feeling bad for everything. And so I take that into, I actualize that in real life and try to help people realize that they themselves have potential unrealized if they choose to realize it. And so with the guerrilla warfare concept, it's like, hey, you can pick up this rifle, you can pick up this pistol, you can chuck this grenade, you can grab this RPG, you can sling that hatchet if you want, but I'm gonna need you in some way, shape, or form, and I would just like for you to help. But I can't sit here and tell you how much power you do have. Just know that you have to do it. And so I want to use that as like a way to pivot onto what you were talking about before with the war on ideas, how we're basically talking about this thought control. You know, you're saying ideas can't die. You're darn right. Ideas can't be copyrighted. You know, they don't die. They just reform like energy, and that's what's awesome about it. And whenever we have to operate solely on social media, we're trying to basically exemplify the awakening process within 140 characters, and that's impossible. That is literally impossible. And so now we're literally, and that's what's crazy is if you think about it, we're literally transcending the very tools that have brought us enlightenment. We're transcending that parameter and that paradigm, and then literally bursting at the seams to bring a whole new form of information to people in the real world. We're transcending one form of energy to another. I think it's crazy. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, some people say to me, hey, I'm really into this new way of thinking I have, and I want to share my journey on YouTube. And then they say, but no one's watching. And I say, what do you mean no one's watching? And they say, yeah, I put this video out and only got 14 views. And then I looked at this other video, it's got 15 million. And I say to them, okay, cool. You know, when you have like cable TV, for example, right? The shows that are going to get the most hits are probably like Friends and Family Guy and all that stuff. It's like, you know, escapism, right? It's just a form of, you know, entertainment. Then there's other shows like documentaries. Right, okay, yeah, so we can, I feel like there's a time and place for that stuff, you know, not all the time do I want to be serious. Hey, I like Rick and Morty, it's one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, time and place. that's where I feel like, yes, time and place for that kind of stuff. However, there are other channels out there. There's the Shopping Channel, which some people want to watch. There's documentaries, there's so many channels out there, and I feel like the YouTube thing is the same thing. You know, if you have a conscious message that you want to spread, we can't expect to have the virality of, oh yeah, thousands and millions of people watching this, because there might not be that kind of audience for it. The thing that we do need to focus on is, wow, 14 people actually cared about what I had to say. And that's something I've realized myself. I only started taking my YouTube channel seriously this year, really like putting videos out pretty much every day. And through doing that, I have felt this overwhelming sense of connection with people who get it. And by get it, I mean they are also looking within. They are also seeking to create change in their life. And relating it back to these tools, it's like, I've seen myself for the longest time. You know, I gave up on trying to live a life of meaning when I was like 9 years old. And through from that experience up until I was about 22, yeah, life sucked and it was not very fun. But since I've used these tools to spread the message and of what I've experienced in the last couple of years of my journey, I have felt this overwhelming sense of connection and this abundance of love from people. I've never met them before. They're all from different countries. Most of them never met face to face. But even the people I meet on a daily basis now, there's a big difference because of the vibe that I'm putting out. And they say, be the change and things like that. It's a nice quote to put on Instagram, but living in alignment with that quote is a completely different story. And I feel like that's another area we need to focus on, is bridging the gap between knowledge and acting on that knowledge, which we all know, you know, walking the spiritual path, personal growth is very, very difficult. You know, Morpheus said it to Neo the best. There's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path.
And I think that's a good place to take a break, because, you know, you look at this, people have to understand that knowledge is only half of that. Whenever they tell you that knowledge is power, it's how you wield that weapon. You see, the same thing, it goes the same way with time as well. It's how you effectively optimize it. And if we don't understand not only our capability and our potentiality, we're going to lose our effectiveness. But with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about this and more on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. This is Sachin of Spoon of Consciousness and EJ of Freedom Faction. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you soon. Who could it be? Is it you? Is it me? Looks like it's all three. And we are back. Thank you guys for tuning in to Fellowship in Freedom. I am actually joined by my awesome guest, Sachin of Spoon of Consciousness. My friend, how are you?
Everything is going well on my end, EJ. Thank you so much for having me. I'm having a great time on the show.
Yes, and that's all I can really hope for, is that you're having a great day. There's two things that we were talking about before the break. I wanted to give something for people to go look at. Go look up The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. It's by Charlotte Thompson Iserby. She's an American freelance writer and former senior policy advisor to the U.S. Department of Education. She wrote this book back in like the 90s, right? And in this book, she's basically talking about how education is slowly, it's not becoming education. It's being used to kind of mold and indoctrinate people, is the best way I can say. But definitely go look it up. It's a real thing. I have a copy of it here. In the studio myself, and I wanted to make that plug because it's important to look at how there have been whistleblowers within the system themselves who have been able to point this out, that there is something wrong with what we consider modern education. Now, the other thing that I wanted to point out with you that I think is awesome that you said it, you said because of how your approach towards things these days has changed, it's the energy output, you know, it's kind of like what you're expecting of the universe to provide you with. It's changed differently, and so you're getting different responses. I think I butchered what you said, but the concept of it, I totally understand. If you could, would you go into a little bit more detail about that?
Yeah, sure, man. So I think, you know, Biggie Smalls said it in one of his songs. He said, I went from negative to positive, and it's all good, or something like that. And you know, that's a lot of us know the song. But to make that switch from, literally, it's the mindset you have, right? So you were talking about the way we invest our time. I love the concept of time being an asset. So the more you invest your assets, the more fruit they will yield you, right? So before, I used to invest my time into just feeling negative about life and complaining about stuff. And since having an awakening, if you want to call it that, just remembering who I truly am and what's truly important to me and focusing on that, the people, places and things that I've attracted into my life have completely changed. It's on the other end of the spectrum. You know, I used to complain about my work and job situation. excuse me, until I took it upon myself to actually create the lifestyle that I want to live. I said I didn't want to have a job. I wanted to have a lifestyle. I wanted to get paid to do the things I love. I wanted to make a difference on the planet. And it didn't. I wasn't really clear on it. I wasn't really clear on how it was gonna come about in the beginning. But a big part of this making the shift from where you're at right now to where you want to be is having faith. And that's a very common thing to say, but it's not. I can't get behind the notion of just blind faith, believing that things are going to happen. I'm more focused on trusting what feels right for me. So if someone says to me, hey, we're going to go and, you know, play some football, that's not really my thing and it doesn't feel right for me. But if someone said, yeah, we're going to, you know, create some art, we're going to go down to the skate park, we're going to take some videos of the BMX thing and stuff, that's definitely more up my street. So I'm going to go with the latter. And it's because of making those decisions on a regular basis that we start to see a complete shift in the way that our lives look. And a big part of that is spending time with different people, having varied experiences. The subconscious it recycles thoughts. So when 90% of our thoughts are old thoughts, if we can have new experiences and engage and interact with different people, we start to give our subconscious new thoughts, new fuel to create new thoughts. And it's that in itself that rewires the brain out of dysfunctional thought patterns, dysfunctional tendencies, into, you know, this childlike sense of wonder, thinking, wow, if that's possible, you know, changing the way I see things and then those things changing in my life, what else is possible? And for me, I used to abuse a lot of things in life, you know, food, drugs, relationships, PlayStation, stuff like that. And I've seen, since taking time away from those things and putting it into myself and the betterment of the human race, the ramifications are immeasurable. You know, they say what you do now ripples out into eternity. True, it's a beautiful saying, but it's very true. My mom used to have, I'm not really sure what it was, she just wasn't satisfied with her life. And she would spend a great deal of time on the couch, watching TV, just complaining about stuff. And I was there too. Since I changed myself, the change rippled out to her. She reversed her diabetes. She no longer needs the medication. She runs triathlons. She runs marathons, climbs mountains. These things were foreign to us. You know, we never had a relationship with each other. And today being Mother's Day, it's very fitting that I bring this up. The change that I desired to see within her was already, I had already embodied that change within myself. A lot of people ask me, hey, how do I change my partner? If the desire for change is not within them, they will not change. And also, we need to be mindful of assessing why we desire change. You know, do I want my partner to change because there's something about myself I want to change? But it's easier to externalize that onto someone else. There's a lot of different things at play here, but I think definitely the key is where we invest our time.
And I'm so glad that you talked about that. You know, basically having healthy habits, rewiring the brain, having faith and mindfulness, all having like a conscious mind about the types of things that you do, because that's so important. You know, we live in borderline and automated society, and people just get shuffled around from objective to task to objective, and there's no actual conscious thought behind it. And what I find myself doing now, because I'm so caught up in so many different things, I'm working on so many different projects or appearing on different shows or networking with so many different people, mentally, I'm always on the run. Physically, I've kind of let my body go. But because I've been working out for this past like month and two, I'm realizing, wow, not only what happened, how did I let myself go? But now, because it's become routine to get up, have water, go to the gym for about an hour and a half or two, and then start doing the podcasting stuff, my whole mindset is different. You know, I'm not sitting over here thinking, oh gosh, you know, I got to post in this order, or oh gosh, I got to reply to this email, or oh gosh, you know, I got to set up for this interview. Like, oh, you know, got to none of that. It's the hecticness. And so I'm glad that you're saying that, because we're living in a time frame to where it's very hard to replace these habits that become so easily picked up with productive and usually beneficial things. You know, I take some of my friends, I call them goons. I take these goons with me to the gym with me. And, you know, it's because they're from the music, they're from all of that stuff, you know, that we don't really necessarily know how to have a conversation about being healthy, you know, about, hey, should we go to Subway, you know, instead of Applebee's and get like six beers? No, let's take care of our body. And it's because, again, the dialogue and the interjection the exchange between us. So I'm very glad that you said that. It's the mindfulness and the having faith that people have somehow lost. And it's because we're not really taking the 2 seconds to really to understand that this instant gratification does more damage than we think. Like we're living in time to where we... Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, man. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, this thing about moving into the body and giving us perspective on the rest of the day. I like to start at least once a week. I'll start the day with a run, and then I'll do some meditation afterwards. And after that meditation, like, I'm a very high energy dude, so normally when I sit down to meditate, it's kind of uncomfortable. If I go for a run and I'm physically tired and then I meditate, it's like I feel like I don't know how else to explain it. I just call it, I'm in God mode, you know, like if you enter the cheat code for a video game and you have like unlimited health, unlimited ammo, or like, you know, unlimited stamina, stuff like that, super strength and like super intelligence and stuff. I feel like I'm on God level when I do that, because I'm present. I'm not distracted by the movement of my thoughts. I'm practicing detaching from a thought as it arises, if it's taking me away from the now. And learning, this is all part of learning how to observe the mind as a tool and set it down when we don't need to use that tool. It's like if you have a hammer, right? You can give a hammer to a child, and if it's using the hammer to turn on a light switch, it's overkill. You don't need to do that. You know, you could set the tool down, press the button with your hand, and then pick it back up to do something else constructive with. This is the kind of thing that needs to be taught in schools. We are living our lives by the clock at the moment, and maybe that won't stop, who knows? But we can better prepare tomorrow's generation for living their lives, whatever happens, if we teach them the importance of moving into the body, how it's going to affect you, you know, whether it's yoga, weight training, running, jiu-jitsu, whatever. You know, I think blending the yang and the yin had, for me personally, has brought so much balance into my life. Like things like weight training, jiu-jitsu, is very yang energy, outward facing, dominant masculine energy. The yin, slow yoga, walking in nature, meditation, you know, this parts of like stretching as well, relaxation, blending those two together really gives us a sense of balance and grounding. Because it's all good to be, you know, high energy running and weight training, but if we don't balance that, we're going to use that full force, pedal to the metal approach for everything. And that's just not applicable for everything. Sometimes we do need to take a step back and let things go and ride the current, ride the wave that life sends us. And, you know, sometimes that's very difficult to do. That's it for me. That's definitely a practice I'm trying to be more mindful of, because we have egos, you know. It's difficult to relinquish that sense of that desire for control and that sense of significance. You know, I want to make things happen. Yes, definitely. I can align my thoughts, beliefs and actions, and I can do my best. I can do what's within my control. But ultimately, outside of myself, I don't have agency over anything else. I have agency over my vessel. I can choose what I do, and I can see how that produces results and go from there. But definitely that blending of the yin and yang has really helped me to relinquish that desire for control, which it can limit us in a lot of different ways.
I'm going to say this, and then we're going to take a quick break. But you know what you're saying is 1,000% correct. You know, blending the yin and the yang, learning to let go, not be in full control. You don't know everything. Sometimes you have to throw up your hands and say, "Hey, look, mm-hmm. I am merely the student and the observer. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on." And you know, doing this, I've definitely had to learn that the hard way. And I'm sure people have seen and heard that and seen the growth that's come with it. Because with this type of information, there's a lot of things that happen. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. You have to say, okay, who I was before I knew this no longer exists. Or if I choose to. And what I mean by that is the information that we're supposed to get by doing all this type of stuff is supposed to enrich us. It's not supposed to enslave us. It's not supposed to depress us. It's not supposed to regress us. It's supposed to progress and enrich us and put us in a better state than we were prior to it being in our lives. And so what I mean by that is, you know, look at the vegan movement. Look at the flat earth movement. look at the natural alternative holistic movement. Look at the Kratom movement. Look at so many different things that have come out simply because it's not a individual idea. It literally becomes a lifestyle because of the peripheral topics and peripheral subjects that come with it. So I'm definitely glad you said that. But in context, connecting it with, you know, blending the yin and the yang, this jumps back to, again, actuating the information, actuating the knowledge that we attain. I'll put it to you guys this way, and this is probably like the funniest way to take a break, but whenever I learned how many different ways they were making clones, I had like a little, I didn't have like a mental breakdown. I freaked out because I literally started asking the deeper questions of, you know, what is life? Do these things have souls? Where do they just transfer consciousness? Like, so many different questions were running through my mind whenever I found out about all that I had to hit the mountains for like a 7-mile hike because I was just thinking that much. And so if that's just something that shocks me, what do you think it's like for everybody else that learns new types of information but doesn't know how to actuate it and work it into the world? That's where we're going to have to go next. That's the next step in what I would consider consciousness, conscious revolution, the truth-seeking revolution, or the truth movement, actuating that kind of information. But I think that's going to be a great place to take a break. We're going to come back and talking about, you know, more of this moving into the body, the mind being a tool, and things like blending the yin and yang on the side. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. This is Sachin of Spoon of Consciousness, the Freedom Faction of Factions of Freedom. Stay tuned. And we are back. That's right. Still on the air. Even though we try to talk all this nonsense, they can't kick us off. Because you can't, as we said before, you can't do an idea. The signal is being put out there, and you guys are picking up. Thank you guys for listening to Fellowship and Freedom. I am joined by my awesome guest, Sachin of Spoon of Consciousness. My friend, how are you?
Everything is going well. Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much for having me, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
Yes, and if you guys have questions and you'd like to call in, that number is 678-603-4393. That number, again, is 678-603-4393. And if you have questions, you can message them to us on Instagram and or Facebook, and I'll ask them to Sachin, or we'll go over them here. But with that being said, let's get back into things. You know, we were talking about moving into the body, the mind being a tool, and blending the yin and the yang. All of those things are, we could rant on that for days. it's important because, you know, the mind is the most powerful weapon, the most powerful tool, the most powerful organ, the most powerful computer ever. And it's being constantly programmed. I mean, I feel like by doing the shows every week and every other week or so like this, I feel like we have got, like, we combat the programming every single day and every single week. And so when you're talking about, you know, moving into the body, working heaven here on earth, you know, you got to look at, again, what is programming you? Are you picking up signals from the universe? Are you picking up signals from NBC? You know?
Yeah, so for me, I feel like, you know, when you pray, it's like you're speaking your intention out to the universe or God, whatever we want to call it, right? When you meditate, you're listening to the reply. You're listening to the people. I call it download sometimes. Like when you pray, it's like upload. When you meditate, it's like download. And meditate does not necessarily have to mean sitting in the Zen position and you know, trying to have a clear mind. It can be your form of reflection and say, okay, God, I've told you that I wanted a different life. God, now you reflect on the way you behave, the things you believe, the way you think, and God's way of showing you, this is what you're manifesting. This is the people, places, and things in our lives are a direct reflection of where we're at. And I think when we tune into that space of not knowing or venturing into the unknown, that's when we receive the most information from source energy, if you want to call it that.
I agree. I say this all the time, you know, prayer is speaking, meditation is listening. And I definitely am an advocate for both. Because what that ties into is kind of like what we were mentioning before at the start of the show, with looking inside, understanding how you operate, not getting your, as you say, your downloads, not getting your downloads from social media, not getting your downloads from Twitter, not trying to figure out why you should get triggered today. A great example of how we're already starting to see somewhat of this paradigm shifting approach in society is in San Francisco, in California. They are having transcendental meditation classes. It's kind of like instead of quiet time, they have transcendental meditation time. And, you know, this is something that they've done, I think, in Peru and Nepal, and they're doing it all over the world, really, as well. And the point behind it is to lessen the stress, lessen fights, interactions, and stuff like that, bad behavior, and acting out. And this is good because what we see, what we're seeing, is the acknowledgement of meditation being a tool to help enrich people's lives. And I say that because it's not just meditation, it's not just prayer. We have to look at the society in which we're trying to practice these types of things. I say this all the time. You know, a lot of cultures are not compatible with certain countries. And what I mean by that is you can't really be a hippie here in America. You know, like it's, you can go to raves and you can do a whole bunch of ecstasy and MDMA, you know, and psilocybin and mescaline and all that stuff. But then you're kind of like a junkie. And what I mean by that is there's not a lot of people that are out there that are really trying to understand even the deeper parts of being a hippie. Like there's just certain cultures that are not compatible with certain countries. And so what we're having to talk about, again, at the core, is how we take control of the conversation and of the culture and move it forward so that we create this culture of creativity, of compassion, and consciousness instead of just conformity and indoctrination.
Yeah, man. You know what's funny? When I was a bit younger, I think drugs have always been a fascinating subject for me. I always naturally resonated with cannabis, and when I was younger, I used to abuse it. And I found it funny when you said this hippie culture is deep rooted in the philosophy of like, let's just love each other and promote more love. Great, but there's a difference between taking action on that and just floating around with the idea of it. You know, yeah, it's great when you take ecstasy, you feel that loving connection with other people. When you take psilocybin, you have the real deep introspection and you get taken on this wild ride. But I really do feel like with these substances, as I've grown, and you know, I'm 25 now. When I first took one of these substances, I was very young. I was like 22. The difference between me then and me now is like, I understand anyone can take this tablet, anyone can smoke this substance, anyone can take the mushrooms, anyone can have the trip. It takes a very self-aware individual to be able to integrate what they've seen into their daily life to improve their lives and the lives of others, or to yes. change. And, you know, I never would have cured my PTSD or depression if it was not for MDMA. So I can't completely rubbish these substances. However, I wouldn't have cured it if I didn't take the lessons that I learned from it. And I did it a handful of times. Every time I did it after the first time, didn't really show me that much. And that's when I realized, like, wow, okay, it's not about coming back to this substance regularly. It's about integrating what was so powerful about that time that made you feel that deep connection. And it just boils down to two really simple things for me anyway. It's just love and honesty. And that starts within ourselves. You know, you gotta love yourself enough to be true to yourself. And when you're true to yourself, you will love yourself. You'll love yourself for not settling for less than you know you're truly worth. You'll love yourself because you're exercising. You'll love yourself because you're not feeding your mind crap that's disempowering you. And this is a big part of the psychedelics thing for me was, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, hey, you know, how can I have a beneficial experience from it? A big part of it for me is, like, you don't have the intention of an expectation. You have the intention of, I've got some questions that I can't ask Google, and I'm going to sit with myself and try and figure them out. And, yeah, we'll see what happens.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. I have questions that I can't ask Google, so I'm going to sit with myself here until we figure this out. All right. And it's 1,000% true, too, because, you know, and... Well, I look at hippie culture, I look at drug culture, and these are two totally different things. I've even talked about, you know, rave culture as well, how there's massive abuse mm-hmm. going on within that culture, mm-hmm. but how it was based off of, you know, free love. Now just let's all have a good time. You know, even having shows like this, everything that I do, from the page to the podcast to the work that we're going to be doing out here in the streets, this song comes from like a place of love and compassion. And I think that's where people need to understand as well. That is the only way forward, is through love, compassion, and understanding. Another thing that I wanted to yeah. point out too, is you hear people say all the time, you know, they love doing this type of drug. They love doing this. They love doing that. I don't think it's so much that they like doing the drug. I think it's that they like accessing the experience and accessing the energy and accessing the modality that the drug brings. It's like,
yep.
People think, oh, you know, you can't trip naturally. You can't induce, you can't have hallucinations yourself. Yes, you can. Stay up for 4 days and see how you feel then. You can't feel the amount of peace and euphoria that you have from MDMA or from ecstasy. Yes, you can. There's just different ways of accessing it. What these drugs do is they basically force us to access these things that we're supposed to access naturally. That's why they're in us. But and I'm not knocking anybody that does drugs. Like, look, man, hey, take a shot for me, take a hit for me. I totally understand. What I'm trying to say, like, when looking at this, is how even with technology, these are still tools that we need to learn how to use to enrich our life. So as you're saying before, you know, you do it that one time, you have that great revelation, and you do it the second time, and it's not as great. It's because you already had your answers. You got what you came for. And whenever we begin to abuse these things, that's whenever the truth is taken from us. So I'm definitely glad that you
yeah.
that type of stuff out.
Bro, you know, Alan Watts said it the best. He said, when you receive the message, hang up the phone. And that's, you know, I look at this as like I kept calling like, hello, is anyone there? Can you answer my questions? And the other side has already hung up. They've already given me the message. They're gone. Whoever gave me that message, and it's me who's trying, instead of focusing on what they had said and integrating that, I'm trying to get more or trying to get them to explain it to me again. And that's not what things are here for. And also, on the topic of rave culture, I'm a huge fan of drum and bass. So when I go to a music festival, when I go to a concert or something, I go just for the music. And I get it, some people want to go to have the whole experience of, I'm going to take some drugs, I'm going to listen to the music, and I'm going to interact with people. I used to think that was great, but then my opinion changed when I realized I'm basically having sex with everyone in the room if I choose to take MDMA, and not physically with my penis, but with my energetic body. And I think this is something that gets so badly overlooked. It's like, if you take this substance, you're opening your auric field or your energetic body to everyone. And that's dangerous, because some people don't have nice, warm, friendly energy. Some people are carrying a lot of stuff, and you might not be ready to take that on, especially when it comes to having sex with someone physically, because you're under the influence of this drug. You have no idea what kind of energy they're dealing with right now. They might not be ready for that. I explain this to young people before I say to them, look, if you're going to try these drugs, no one can stop you, but you need to be prepared for what is going to happen. And I think the main reason I don't do, I said I won't do MDMA for a long time, maybe ever, is the come down is just not worth it. I've got a lot of stuff to do every day. I can't afford to waste 5 days trying to recover.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I like drum and bass, some good D&B, some good trap, some good dubstep, some good Arctic dub. Yeah, I like symbolically, I really do like what the rave culture stands for. But as you pointed out, with your energetic body, your auric field, you take that MDMA, you take that ecstasy, with that Molly, you're going to be, as you said, energetically having sex with everybody that's in the room. And, what's weird, being out of the culture and being out of the scene, you don't really see it. I didn't really think of it like that. Like, that's a very good statement. Like, energetically, you were already having sex with all of those people simply for being there. You chose to. So you knew what you were getting yourself into. And that makes it kind of, it seems a little bit kinky and dirty, but it's the truth. It's because when you're in that mindset, you don't really have a whole lot of discernment. You don't really have a whole lot of inhibition. Like everything's just what it is. And I can respect that, but at the same time, that culture and that mindset is being put out there to where, people aren't learning discipline from these types of things, not learning mastery, or saying, keeping their flesh in check and different things like that. So it's good and bad. But at the same time, I look at rave culture, I look at even, business culture, industrial culture, corporate culture, and all this stuff. I look at how these are so many different extremes of just what humanity can be in society, that it blows my mind. That's basically what we're trying to do right now, is figure out, what is the right path to walk to where you do have that kind of euphoria and that happiness that the rave culture offers, but at the same time, that informational, industrious, and educational aspect that the corporate world has. So it's crazy.
Yeah, and one other thing I really think is important to mention about all of these cultures, but particularly when it comes to rave culture, drugs, things like that, the experiences that we have that are pleasurable, the things that give us adrenaline, the success in business, taking ecstasy, having sex, eating a cheeseburger, whatever it is, these things are producing a chemical reaction inside the body, which heightens our present moment awareness. And I think that's all the, mainly psychedelics, I feel like all they're doing is just cleansing your palate of all the BS that doesn't have anything to do with the now. So you start to perceive things that are in the present moment that you don't usually pay attention to. For example, we're talking about hallucination, right? You know, it's possible for you to have those closed eye or open eye hallucinations without taking any substances. All we need to do is cultivate the practice of increasing our present moment awareness. That's why I feel like, you know, gratitude is literally your key to feeling good. People say, like, how do I feel good without smoking weed, without taking these drugs or having sex, whatever it is. And it's not about just, you know, if you want to be a monk for the rest of your life, cool, that's fine. I made peace with this recently. You know, I used to judge myself for having desires of the flesh. It's not about saying I'm never going to do this. It's about saying, okay, when I feel that it's not, when I don't need to do it, but I still have the urge to, I can resort to my gratitude practice and being present. Because the deepest joy is the experience in the now. Everything else is taking us away from that. So, you know, I got car trouble right now. My car is in the shop. You know, that was taking my presence away from this moment. And that's when we get caught up in the movement of thought, which then distracts us. And that's why we feel like it's so tempting to resort to the drugs, if you want to call them that, because they give us that sense of perspective. They help us to ground ourselves in the now. And if, you know, looking at it on a wider scale, this starts off in school and, you know, nicely relating it back to what we're doing. But having these conversations in school about, what's your idea of success? What do you think would make you happy? What's going to make you fulfilled? Instead of, you need to have money to be considered to be a worthy individual, to be a, I can't remember what it's called, like an asset to society or something like that. Why does that mean, you know, money for me, it's an indication of the impact you're having, not the whole story though. You know, it's a reflection of a type of energy in your life. It's not the whole story. And I feel like the acquisition of wealth or the pursuit of wealth in the form of material things is what is taking our focus and attention away from the now. And if the now is all that really exists, that means that the pursuit for material wealth is distracting us from life, because that's not really life. It's a part of life. Yeah, material things are here to be enjoyed, but they're not to define us. And that's the whole thing of detachment. It's not owning anything. It's making sure that nothing owns you.
Yep. And I'm going to kind of touch back on what we were talking about, you know, with rave culture, and kind of talk about how it relates to detachment. And I like what you said about being a monk. Yeah, I've definitely, as a child, I definitely thought about being like either a monk or a priest, you know, basically somebody that walks the earth and just either collects stories but tries to like help enrich people's lives. You know, I'd survive off of rice and whatever other meager foods I would come up with. But that was my dream as a child. And I say that because what we're talking about how is how this world is becoming more and more increasingly immersed in the materialistic culture. Whenever I started this podcast, and people can go back and listen to it, where I've made the statement time and time again, you know, I wasn't really necessarily one that was enticed by cars, clothes, female women of the night, and clothes. I wanted scrolls, and that was a rhyme that I had. You know, I wanted the scrolls to open up your soul. I wanted the information. I felt like wealth was something that was intangible. And I find that fascinating that you pointed that out today of all days, because I literally woke up this morning with that in my head. You know, what is wealth? If you ask somebody what they think wealth is, they'll say, you know, $40,000, $100,000, something where it's finite, it's tangible, it's physical, right? Wealth to me is the fact that I have 4, sometimes 5 dogs, a beautiful fiance, a roof over my head, the podcast, the multiple shows. I have people that legitimately care about what I think. I have parents that care for me. Like, the list goes on and on about stuff that I should be like grateful for. And that ties into what I was saying beforehand, too, at the start of the show. I am too busy being proud of what people can accomplish, proud of not only myself and other people as well. I'm too busy being proud of what people can accomplish to where I can't sit here and feel sorry for them, because it becomes a choice at that point. So the wealth, jumping back to that, why it's important to understand, and as you said, practice that kind of gratuity. You got to count your chickens. You got to count your house. You got to count your blessings. Really look at how you're on the right side of the ground. A lot of people don't understand how that's where you're going to find success. People ask you, oh, how do you do this? You know, how do you talk about this type of stuff and still maintain optimism? Because at the end of the day, I'm still alive. At the end of the day, I'm still loved. As crazy as all this is, it's what happens at the end of it all. It's that light at the end of the tunnel. It's that sunshine in the rain. And if more people could practice that kind of gratuity or that appreciation, they would understand it more. But we're so busy, caught up in, oh, I don't have this, therefore I can't be happy, blah. I don't have this, so I can't be happy this way. More people are focused on what they don't have, to where they don't take into appreciation what they do have. Like I said, like I say to you all the time, or and everybody else, I am just grateful to be in a position to where I can impact people's lives this way, and also have this kind of fellowship about things that are important. And to me, that's the ultimate amount of wealth. That's why you do it.
Yeah, you know what? This reminds me of something someone told me a long time ago. I was complaining about not having money, and they said, you know what? Some people are so poor, all they have is money. And I was like, how does that make any sense? And he said, some people are so poor, they only have money. Money can't buy you intangible things like love, like respect, like health, like mental health, like peace of mind, like inner peace. Like, you know, when you wake up in the morning, if you are looking forward to your day, money will never be able to buy you that feeling. You know, looking at your partner, looking at your children or your dogs or whoever it is, and having a smile on your face saying, I'm so excited to live another day here. Money cannot give you that. And this is a concept that, to, you know, coming out of this system, the Matrix would have us, that, you know, we need to deify money and put it on a pedestal and say, our God. But you have your peace of mind, if you don't have your health, if you don't have health, and if you don't have self, because it starts with your energetic bank balance. If you feel like $1 million, you're going to attract things of that nature to you, and that's a beautiful part of the evolution process.
So it goes back to what you were talking about too, with, you know, your energy output, and you can even say this is kind of like the Fibonacci sequence. You know, where whenever you send something out, it comes back 6 times stronger. You know, that's how this works. You know, I could, I'm going to say this and then we'll take a quick break. I could have never imagined, you know, covering Jade Helm 15, covering military equipment, transporting all across Southern America, that, you know, a few years down the line, I would be having these kinds of conversations about how to combat indoctrinating education, how to combat conformity, how to take your health back into place. Whenever I started all of this with what I thought was a decent amount of information, I had no idea that it would grow into something as massive as this. And it's because I count my stars every day, you know, and I'm blessed every day to be in this kind of position. And so I'm not saying that's the secret, but I'm saying that's what's worked for me, is to practice this kind of gratuity, and I've been paid back in ways that I can't even comprehend. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about this and more on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for sticking around, being a part of history. We're trying to make something here. We're doing pretty cool things all the time, if you can believe it. believe it because we're doing it and you're seeing it. But thank you guys for tuning in to another edition of Fellowship of Freedom. I'm actually joined by my awesome guest, Sachin, the Spoon of Consciousness, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure, and I've enjoyed speaking with you.
You know, I was saying this whenever I was talking to Shamanic Philosophy on one of the shows that we did. It is so fun and so refreshing to talk with people like yourself. It's like introducing your friends to other friends. I find it so therapeutic, man. So really, thank you for coming on.
Well, as a fellow podcaster, I can definitely agree with that, man. I feel like conversations are like they're deep experiences within themselves, and they change us over time. The more you have, I don't know if you can call it life changing, but definitely mind changing conversations. Like I'm gonna credit you until the day I die, man, just for introducing me to the concept of Renaissance, not revolution, man. I'm gonna keep bringing that up until for a long time.
Well, it's a concept that makes sense to me, you know. I think of revolution, I think of black flags and gasoline. I think of people just throwing Molotovs, running down the street causing chaos with bats and nails in them. You know, I hear that. I totally feel the revolution aspect. Mm. But when I think of Renaissance, I think of like a G-Unit version or a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle version of artists and writers and sculptors and engineers. I think of like what we think of today as like, you know, the Crips and the Bloods or just like gangsters, people from Goodfellas or Casino. I think of those kinds of people being influential, the people who are the writers, the thinkers, the creators, the doers. Those are the people that we need to idolize, the people that are creating things and innovating. That's what is real gangsta, if you ask me, because they're pushing the ball forward. They're helping us all live better. Mm. They're not in it for themselves. They're saying, hey, here's a problem that the entire world has. I'm going to try to fix it. That's a real superhero right there. And that is what comes with Renaissance, not revolution.
No, I couldn't agree more. And this is why I think it's so important for everyone to share their journeys. You don't have to stick a camera in your face or a microphone in your face and do it online. Simply, you know, the Bible talks about love thy neighbor. Very simple concept, but loving your neighbor does not mean you have to spend 9 hours hearing their sob stories or feeling bad for them. Literally just saying, hey, John, you know, I found out about this thing that really helped me with, you know, exercising and stretching my body and stuff. It's really improved my performance in pretty much every area of my life. Just thought I'd share that with you, man. And whether John takes that advice seriously or not, that's up to him. But I feel like this day and age, that the tools that we have at our disposal, the ability to share, that is what they can't kill. And that is something like that they've tried, you know, ripping apart the social fabric of society with instant gratification from social media, dating apps, things like that. Let's not demonize it too much, but there is sinister intention there. Coming away from that is something they fear greatly, because as soon as we set down the tools that aren't serving us or balance our lives in a way that we are using them instead of them using us, that's when we can start putting ourselves in a position of empowerment and create great change. I feel like this hasn't been said enough from anyone I've spoken with. There's no greater change than the change that occurs within oneself, because the changes we make to ourselves are the changes we're making to the world, because your inner world is reflected in the outer world. So as soon as you clean up your own act, you're cleaning up a section of the world. And if we can just spread that ideology, we're going to see a lot cleaner world in the years to come.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to our producer, Cindy Ashby, because she literally said exactly what you said earlier to me this week. She said that the journey to want better for everyone starts with you, but it's not an easy task when it's you standing in your own way. And that's why if we want to be the change in the world that we want to see, we have to change ourselves to be the better person for everybody else. So with that being said, I'm going to say, Sachin, you know, where can more people find more of your work?
Cool. Thank you for the opportunity, man. I appreciate it. So I have a YouTube channel. It's called Spoon of Consciousness. Funny story, like I didn't really intentionally set my mind on that name, but it's fitting because these are just small bits of consciousness that we're trying to describe. So I do a daily blog on Tumblr. You can find me there, Spoon of Consciousness as well. Instagram, just short clips of the videos and short quotes, sentiments, bits of wisdom throughout the day. I also do a podcast twice a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays, trying to have conscious conversations that you can take something away with you to help you along your journey. And EJ's been a guest on my show a few times. I speak with coaches, YouTubers, spiritual community members, if you're going to call them that. I'm open to having a lot of different types of conversations, but the main thing that I want to use my platform for, regardless of its size, is to promote a message of empowerment and to encourage others. You know, regardless of what your past is, you can create a better tomorrow, and it starts with what you do today. So yeah, thank you so much for having me, man. It's been it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Oh man, totally. The pleasure was mine. Real quick before you go, tell people about the Idea Bus one more time. It's kind of what we talked about at the start of the show. Just give people a quick refresher if you could.
Sure, yeah. So the project that we've got going on at the moment is we have a goal to change the current education system. We want to introduce a new curriculum designed around health and well-being. And we can use technology to help us deliver that content, to the curriculum's content to students. So there's a few ways that we're doing this. One of them is the Ideas Bus. We're sending around a massive yellow American school bus to schools in our local communities and introducing children to new tech, VR, 3D printers, coding equipment, teaching them how to code so that they can be prepared for the real world. The second way we're doing this, we're running local forums. We're getting parents and teachers and students involved in the discussion, talking about the negative effects of technology like social media. The third way that we're going to do this is we're putting on a technology festival next year in August 2019. It's going to be in London. We're promoting awareness at this festival. We're getting more corporations involved to meet their sort of corporate social responsibility, to get them behind us so that we can, all of our work is culminating in this festival. The point of the festival is to get more people on our side, to make our voices heard and start implementing these changes. Building a curriculum around health and well-being is not an idea that that people disagree with. You know, everyone thinks it's a good idea. The problem is converting those good intentions into action. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing at the moment. If you want to find out more about that, there's a link on my Instagram page. If you just hit the link in my bio, vote for us to get funded. All you need to do is have a LinkedIn or Facebook account. With that funding, we can send the bus around to more schools. We can put on more workshops, more forums, and really start actually getting the ball rolling instead of just talking about it and just having the idea and the desire for change. We want to start taking action, and that's how results are created. So if you can support us, that would be awesome. We're going to be running this project for a long time. I'm going to be posting a lot of content about this in the days, months, weeks, years to come. It's not going to happen overnight, but if we all come together from all corners of the planet, we can start creating great change.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Sachin, a Spoon of Consciousness. We will put all of his information to his YouTube, his Tumblr, his Instagram, his podcast, and as well as his project, The Idea Bus. We'll put all those links in the description bar below. Make sure you go give him a follow, like, and subscribe to all of his work, because the man is going to be busy, and we will have him on to talk about his other projects and to give us developments as they come. I want to say again, Sachin, thank you for coming on, my man. It is a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much, EJ. Yeah, likewise. And I can't wait to have you as a guest on my show again. We can talk about some very interesting things. I'm sure we'll be here for many more hours to come.
Oh, man, I look forward to the conversations. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back right after this. Not shook. Yep, they're still part of the show. And it's just me. Whatever will we talk about? Oh, well, I want to start it with this. We got an internet question. It goes a little bit like this. It says, is it bad habits that have been programmed in us from TV? Or is it just parasites? You know, the reasons we want to feel things like, you know, voids of pleasure. I think that's a very good question. Were we programmed into us these bad habits? Well, they could be. I think even as a child, I think a lot of people, you know, ask themselves, what is going on? Where have I found myself? I don't like this society. I don't like what's going on. And I think, you know, everybody goes through that point of really asking what's happened. But is that the programming? Or is society already so programmed that we have to deprogram ourselves from the programming? That's what I was saying before. When I talked about every day doing the page and the shows, things like this, it is a constant battle of fighting the programming every day. You know, and that's what I mean by having conversations like this. There is no way by any measure that I am a master or an expert of anything. I try to master myself, barely, but this is why I believe having discussions with everyone else will eventually make us experts on a lot of over a host of other topics. So, you know, that's one thing I wanted to point out. But with the remainder of the time that we had here, I wanted just to say, you know, doing this, and this is why you can't fake this stuff. This is why I'm so honest with you guys. This is why I try to put it all out there. Because we are literally, as we are having these discussions right now, we are pushing the ball forward. We are asking the hard questions. We are coming up with the solutions. Years ago, when I was doing this and I was starting, I was like, oh my God, I probably sound like a madman. Probably still do. But it's because I felt like if I pushed it out there as hard and as far as possible, we could come up with solutions. If we had some of the most outlandish, craziest stuff out there, and we put our mind there, we would come up with solutions for these extremes. So far, I'm not disappointed with what's happened. And I say all that because you are part of what's happened. We're all part of what is happening. We are experiencing now all the same. We're making history. We just made history just then. We're going to continue to make history. We're going to continue to change and rewrite history and enrich and better our lives. That's the whole point of anybody being here. And if anybody tells you otherwise, they're wasting your time. I cannot get enough of being in this position to help. Because it's not just me that's here, it's you that's here. It's Rob, our engineer, that's here. It's Cindy, our producer, that's here. It's Sachin, our guest, that's here. I'm just hanging out with you guys. I didn't get here on my own. It was the collective effort that we put all forth together to try to create and want something better, that it manifested. And that's why, I mean, it is an honor for me to be in this position. So with that being said, I want to say thank you guys for tuning in to another edition of Fellowship of Freedom. I want to give again another quick shout out to Cindy Ashby, our producer, and Ra, our engineer on the board. You guys can find On Wake Up Radio on SoundCloud, as well as Blog Talk Radio, iTunes. Tune in. You can find us all over the place. Also find us on our website, onthewakeupradio.com. You can also come over to Fellowship and Freedom, Factions of Freedom, and find us there. We're all over the place because this is a network that you guys supported and that we're going to get out there. I'm really, really so stoked to be a part of this. But if you guys have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as I said before, with Sachin's information, I will put it there. His links to his YouTube, his Tumblr, his Instagram, his podcast, as well as his project, The Idea Bus. And remember, guys, specifically, Happy Mother's Day. Stay vigilant. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noise Era, Freedom Faction, Spoon of Consciousness, as well as On the Wake Up Radio. out.